You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk radio. That's Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. We got the solid, conservative, and just plain right stuff, just like the dude just said. Apparently, Boomer, I can't do it without my notes sometimes.
Sometimes. It's okay.
I was like in mid-sentence, and I went, abada. How many times have I done that every day? You think I can do it in my sleep? Hey, listen, we got great stuff laid on for you. I'm talking right now, number one of the triple dipper, killing Title IX. Killing Title IX. Like, I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like gutting it like a fish. And so it's not just that we have a situation where, you know, social pressures on certain people and some schools are doing this and others are not. Now we got the Biden administration trying to force the issue by executive fiat, by making amendments to the regulatory aspects of how to enforce and uphold Title IX. They are literally acting as if they have the right to supersede the courts and the legislative branch. Well, I want to bring somebody in to talk about it and to give us the lowdown on how this can happen and what the options are. And that's my friend Matt Clark. Matt is with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. It's a great guy who's going to bat on things left and right that deal with matters of civil liberties and upholding the rights of individual citizens and companies. So without further ado, my friend Matt Clark, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I am doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Hey, listen, Matt, I know you've probably checked it out. We have state laws, for instance, in Alabama, K-12 schools, they cannot have cross-gender participation. It has to be your biological sex as you were born with is what trumps. I mean, now we got the Biden administration bringing out their new version of Title IX, claiming that they will restrict any and all federal funds from that school if they don't allow transgender participation, at least on a case-by-case basis. Your thoughts on this?
It's an absolute abomination that really turns the purpose of Title IX upside down. I think, you know, when Title IX was originally passed, if you would have asked any reasonable person whether they thought that it would authorize the federal government to withhold funds if you didn't allow biological males in the shower rooms and locker rooms of female students, all of them, including the Democrats, would have laughed at you, thinking, you know, you have to be insane in order to think that our law would authorize that. But now here we are with the Biden administration. Unfortunately, one of the things that's really hurt us was the Supreme Court's decision back in 2019 in Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. At the time, the advocates of the LGBT position argued that sex discrimination under Title VII applied to LGBT folks. And I remember at the time I laughed it off because I'm like, this goes against the cardinal rule of statutory interpretation. But unfortunately, the court bought it. So I think the court's really bad decision in Bostock has given the Biden administration some cover to take these actions. But nevertheless, there are some key distinctions that make me think it's not a done deal. Even if we couldn't bite off Bostock, we can still probably bite this off.
Well, I think we can too. I think there's got to be legal action potential here. You know, if you read the Biden administration's new regulatory version of how to handle Title IX, they allow it to be a case by case basis, which I can't help but look at and go, well, that creates a possibility of disparate treatment. If you're gonna treat some people one way and not others, all you're doing is opening the door for lawsuits just on uneven application of the law, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, you nailed it. Absolutely. You know, when the first three words that came to my mind when I read that were arbitrary and capricious. All right,
yeah.
It's one thing that the government cannot do. I hadn't even thought about the equal protection angle, but I think you're right about that, Phil. So by taking on a case by case basis, the Biden administration has already, you know, opened up the doors for us to be able to beat it up from those two angles, and that's just getting started.
Well, so where do you see this going? I mean, we're talking about they would withhold federal funding from schools that have any just blanket policies of not allowing transgender participation in sports. And what that basically means is hungry kids who rely upon federal funding for free and reduced lunches may wind up getting hungrier.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's bad politics, number one, because of everything that you just said. That's going to happen. But I think we are going to see lawsuits immediately, as soon as the rule goes into effect. Now, that can be a period that takes months. It's going to be a while because right now the Biden administration has just come out with a proposed rule, and under the federal government's Administrative Procedures Act, you know, they have to put the whole country on notice and invite everybody to comment. So one strategy that conservative groups are using now under the APA is to kind of pile down the Biden administration with so many comments, where because the law requires them to, you know, wrestle with every single thing that's brought up. So, you know, that's one thing that we can do to try to stop the train in its tracks to make sure it doesn't, you know, pick up momentum. But if somehow they wrestle with all that, they are going to come out with the final rule. And I would imagine that probably conservative states, I think this would be a good case where Republican attorneys general like Steve Marshall could pounce on this a lot easier than private organizations like ours can. But I think the lawsuits will be immediate, and I don't think it's going to be too long before it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, it's going to have the immediate effect of superseding state law. Alabama's not alone in this. There's multiple states that, you know, exercise their 10th Amendment option to put a state law in place that bans transgender participation in sports. And then you were going to have the Biden administration literally issue a regulatory enforcement directive, and that somehow supersedes state law? I mean, doesn't that seem like it's challengeable on its face?
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, one very unfortunate side effect of constitutional illiteracy and having getting used to a federal government that has done, you know, where the executive branch has done pretty much whatever it wants over the last 100 years, is our understanding of the supremacy clause and preemption is reduced to federal beat state, and that's it. Justice Clarence Thomas has been one justice that's said, you know, if I'm looking at the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution, it says the Constitution and the laws of the United States made in pursuance of the Constitution trump state law. But I'm not so sure that applies to things like, you know, like this, where, you know, it's a executive branch agency, you know, action that was passed without really any input from the people or the legislative process. So Thomas is, you know, not convinced that something like that would necessarily preempt us. So I think that's an interesting argument that I think is going to be fought out as this goes forward.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that the phrase constitutional illiteracy is now one of my favorite phrases. I'm going to be using that. So full credit to Matt Clark. I'll be exercising my right to use that phrase, but giving him the credit for having coined it for me. Well, I agree. Now, Matt, let me ask you this. I mean, it technically is not in place yet. They issued this like April 6th or something like that. So we're about 6 days into a 30-day notice period. Can a legal action seeking injunctive relief enjoin this now, or do we have to wait till it actually passes the 30-day window and goes into effect?
That's an interesting question. So honestly, I'm not sure. I think it's a bit of a gray area. I think sometimes you do get judges that will go for injunctive relief, but it's you know, before the rule goes into effect. But in my experience, it's the exception, not the rule. I think you have to get a judge that is very, very sympathetic to what you're trying to do. He sees what the federal government is doing is wrong and doesn't have a problem being a little bit unorthodox tackling it. However, if we're not able to successfully bring a suit before this goes into effect, I would say don't fear. The minute that this goes into effect, I would imagine that a coalition of Republican attorneys general and probably some public interest groups are going to have complaints that are drafted, ready to file. And as soon as, you know, the clock hits midnight, somebody's going to hit the click button and off we go.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, I look at this too, and listen, I got a listener right now who just texted in, calls himself Wayne in Baghdad, believe it or not. But he says that he's looking at this situation and wondering, if they're going to do this in the schools, if they're going to say you got to let them participate, are we now going to say that transgender have to register with Selective Service, you know, for the draft? Are we going to go ahead and say society as a whole is embracing this, and you have to, if you're going to follow through in sports, you got to follow through with the draft, and you got to follow through with everything else? I mean, where does it end?
That's a great question. So, you know, I think Wayne has some excellent insight there. You know, in addition to along the lines of what Wayne is thinking and what you said, one thing that I'm thinking about that I hope the advocates on our side will hit hard is that if we interpret Title IX this way, it's going to completely subvert its purposes, right? Because it was built on the premise that there are two sexes, and it was built to ensure equal treatment among the sexes. But if you start breaking that distinction down, the Title IX's protections kind of become meaningless. So for example, if a lot of the times, you know, federal civil rights law is interpreted to prevent people from creating a hostile environment that kind of, you know, undermines the purposes a bit. So, for instance, that's why a lot of times in the workplace, if you have ongoing sexual harassment from, you know, especially from management, you can get sued for a hostile work environment, right? Yeah. So let's say that you got a transgender person that decides that he's a female. He walks into, you know, the female restroom. Maybe there's a state of undress depending on the job. And then all the women are like, I can't work here because, you know, this is creating a hostile environment based on sex. So yeah. Then the employer gets caught in a, you know, catch-22 of like, okay, well, I get sued by the transgender person if I don't let them, and I get sued by the women if I do. So I'm thinking something along the same lines could very well happen in schools. So I think this is something we need to highlight and show the whole thing will break down if you let this go, and that's why you need to not let it go.
It's just a great point. It's the inmates are running the asylum right now, it feels like. And I look at this, yeah, and the very idea that we're going to deny the actual biological science in an effort to make some people feel good is unbelievable to me. And they're doing it, and they're literally trying to do it as a matter of law.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's interesting. I think especially for Christians, this is one idea. This is one place where we need to start putting our critical thinking caps on. So Augustine had a very famous line.
Oh, we lost him right as he was quoting Augustine. Boomer, I still got you. Am I good and connected?
You're still good. You got me.
Oh, man, we lost him right as he was going to quote Augustine. Well, listen, I tell you what, it's time for a break anyway. Boomer, you go ahead and see if you can get him back on the line or tell him if he wants to call back in. We'll take that comment right before we wrap up at the end of this break. But right now, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. I hate that he was cut off in the middle of Augustine. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be finishing this one up right after the break. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Wrapping up our discussion on the Biden administration trying to kill Title IX. So my buddy Matt Clark just dropped his call, right? I mean, his call just dropped off right as we were about to have our IQs elevated by a quote from Augustine. So I hear he called back in. Matt, what you got, man?
Hey, yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. Not sure what happened there, but I'm here now. So Augustine had a quote that Dr. Martin Luther King was very fond of, saying an unjust law is no law at all. And I think he's absolutely right about that. So when you take the law and you use it to subvert the very purposes of Title IX and the fundamental laws of nature, right? Like, you know, we don't have a law protecting property because the law created property. Property already existed, all right, and that's why we have laws to protect it. We don't have laws protecting life in order to give people life. They already had it, and then we have laws to protect it. So Augustine, you know, got into some of this critical thinking, like, look, when the government starts subverting these very laws of nature, and we're not talking about a gray area here, we're talking about something that's quite that black and white, it's not that it's bad law, it's that it's not law at all. And so, you know, there have been times over recent years where there have been some judges across the United States that have demonstrated some thinking like that, that go right to the roots of our system, which presume that, look, there is a God who gave people rights, and then people form governments with those rights, the kind of thinking that we see in our Declaration of Independence. So the question then follows, if the government exceeds not only the will of the people, but of, you know, the laws of nature that authorize the people to form governments, is that law of any validity? Augustine said no. Dr. King said no. I think the Bible teaches the answer is no. So, you know, the time is coming for us to start thinking, do we really believe these principles, or are they just nice words that we read on the 4th of July that don't have any practical effect anymore?
That's so good, Matt. Man, what a great summary. That was spot on. And, you know, and I look at this too, you're right, the natural law, and then questioning you literally are seeing a conflict of constitutional principles here. Do people have a right to self-expression? Certainly. But people also have a right to their religious faith, their belief systems. And for them to say, the Biden administration to say they're gonna limit federal funding to feed the poor children in your school if you as a Christian school take that money, but you have to bend your Christian beliefs in order to get the money. Everything about this, you're right. What an unjust law. And when you have an unjust law, what a great quote, it is no law at all. That's, wow, well said, man.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully, if the courts do their job, we don't even need to get to the point where we ask those questions of, do we consider this law at all or not? There are multiple ways to try to beat up the Biden administration's actions through more conventional methods, and I hope that those succeed.
Well, I do too, and I appreciate your time today. Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Tell folks where they can find out more about you if they want to.
Absolutely. Feel free to check us out at alabamalawandliberty.org, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. So feel free to find us there.
All right, Matt Clark. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, Phil.
Hey. So listen, folks. I'm telling you, this is basically a draw your line in the sand moment. And don't think for a second that, well, you know, I don't have kids in the school system, this one doesn't really impact me. It does impact you. It does. If you think for a second they'll stop here, what they believe is they've got the power of the checkbook, right? They got the power of the purse, so to speak. The executive branch believes that it's got carte blanche ability to tell you don't get your money unless you do things the way we say. Well, where does that stop? How about this? What about church basketball leagues? Well, you can't. Church basketball leagues. Why would you say that, Phil? We don't get federal funding. No, but those churches do get a 501c3 status that allows them to raise their revenues in a charitable sense. How about they pull that? Oh, Lord, wait a minute. Or how about this? They move us eventually to a digital central bank currency. And then they could say, yeah, you know what? You're not playing well, church. You're not playing well, Christian school. You're not playing well, for that matter. You're not playing well, Islamic madrasa. You're not playing well, Hindus. It doesn't matter what the faith belief system is. You don't like it? Guess what? They can get in there and turn off the currency, and you can't access your accounts. I mean, I'm just telling you, draw a line in the sand here, folks, and do not think for a second if you don't have children, this doesn't matter to you. It does matter. It matters to the very sanctity of our nation. This is madness. And by the way, my sweet wife just pointed out that this is a teeny tiny minority that wants this done. A teeny tiny minority really want this done. And somehow or another, they've gotten to say, well, I got news. It's time for the inmates to stop being allowed to run the asylum. And we better start speaking out and putting the right people in office and making sure that we go to the polls to vote. I'm just telling you, this is do or die. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.